woman was before the courts because of stealing, and the judge asked her what she had stole. She replied that she had stole a can of peaches. Judge said, "How many peaches were in the can?" She said, "Six." He thought for a moment, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to give you one day in jail for every peach you stole. Six peaches, 6 days." The woman began crying uncontrollably. She was distraught. But just then, somebody broke in from the back of the courtroom and said, "Wait, wait, wait. I have something to say." Stunned the whole court, and the judge, it was the woman's husband. So the judge says, "What do you have to say?" And he said, "She stole a can of peas, too." I don't think that husband was being as helpful as he could have been in that situation. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for your love that never fails. We want to honor you and each other with every part of our day. We want to cling to you and to love the things that you love. Help us to trust and obey you, knowing you have the best way for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Galatians 6, 1 through 10. We've been going through the book of Galatians. This is the second last message. Next Sunday will be the last message, and we'll have made it all the way through. Galatians 6, 1 to 10. I'm going to read it. "My brothers and sisters, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourself are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause of pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for you'll reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you'll reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we'll reap at harvest time if we don't give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially of those in the family of faith." The Apostle Paul is encouraging the young believers in the churches around Galatia that Paul planted or started. Do you remember what it was like being a parent of a newborn? There's this incredible joy and nothing less than a miracle bringing this new life into the world. But there's one little problem. You now need to care for this little creature that seems so helpless. They cannot do anything without your help. And then there's a lack of sleep and very little time to look after yourself. Don't you wonder what you used to do with all the time before you had children? In a spiritual way, these churches were Paul's children. There was a lot of great things happening as they were growing in their faith, but also some very messy things too. There was a group of Jews who became Christians who were making things unbearable for these new Gentile Christians. These Judaizers were wanting these Gentiles to become Jews in all of their traditions before they could truly be accepted before God. But this is not true. It is not Jesus plus circumcision, religious rituals, and the law. Aren't you glad that it's Jesus and only Jesus that gives us right standing before the Heavenly Father? So just like we try to help and guide our children in the wisest possible way, so the Apostle Paul was speaking to these Christians in every way and also indirectly speaking to us. In the last part of Galatians 5, the Apostle's contrasting what happens when we try to live by the flesh, meaning in our own strength, compared to living by the fruit of the Spirit, which is the gift of grace dispensed on us. The lists are drastically different. Group A. You have things like sexual immorality, impurity, sorcery, jealousy, anger, quarrels, factions, and envy. Group B, you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In the first list, things seem completely out of control. And often we are doing damage to our souls and hurting our neighbor. In the second list, the virtues are giving, life-giving. And a behavior would be welcomed by our neighbor to hang out with because they benefit from the Holy Spirit's work within us. Who wouldn't want to be with someone who's full of joy, patient, generous, and self-controlled? Paul builds on what it means to walk in step with the Spirit in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. My brothers and sisters, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you have received the Spirit, should restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourself are not tempted. These who were attacking the church and the Apostle Paul were ruthless in their attacks, trying to create havoc and as much division as possible. Look how Paul deals with things. If another Christian falls into some kind of sin, how should we treat them? The apostle says, gently and humbly. We've all been made in the image of God and reflect His goodness and grace by all the gifts that have been bestowed upon us. We want to treat others with absolute dignity because this is how God sees and values them. And could you imagine if you fell into sin that others would want to gather you up in their arms gently and humbly? And why are we to respond and care for others is because we've received the Holy Spirit who pours the gifts of the Spirit into our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. But when you're in the mud, pulling your friend out of the gutter, be sure not to get stuck yourself. When we swim in the shark-infested waters, be careful not to get bit by the shark. It is always great when you want to serve or help others to work in teams. Take a trusted friend with you. Galatians 2, 6, 2. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Have you ever tried moving a deep freeze or a hide-a-bed by yourself? You usually only do that once. This usually does not end well. Either we wreck something trying to move them or we hurt ourselves. But what a difference when we have a friend or two or three to help us move. It lightens the weight. We are called as Christ followers to share in the burdens and the difficulties of others. When someone shares a deep burden, offer to pray for them right in the middle of the conversation. We're not doing this alone. We need each other and we need God. Galatians 6, 3, 4. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. Verse 4. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause of pride. The text is saying, if we feel we're so important that we don't have time to help somebody else, we're fooling ourselves, and we miss the whole point of God's good news. And then when we work hard to the glory of God, and then we'll be at peace and experience fulfillment without having to compare ourselves to someone else. When we start comparing ourselves to someone else, everyone loses. Galatians 6, 5, for all must carry their own loads. This is taking responsibility for our part in our jobs, marriages, friendships, and family. The next time we think about giving 50%, aim a little higher and give 100%. Even in our spiritual lives, Mike Carey says, everyone needs to carry their own cross. Matthew 16, 24, Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. What this cross-bearing looks like could be very different for each of us. It could be physical, mental, emotional, a great loss, loneliness, pain, hardship. No one can carry this for us. It is us and Jesus doing it together. This is what Jesus means in Matthew 11:28 when he says, come to me all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Others can run alongside of us, cheering us on, but they cannot do this for us. Galatians 5:6, those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Paul's probably inferring that the students of the teacher should probably help out the teacher's expenses. All of us stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. It's amazing how many people have played roles in our spiritual lives to this point. When I was 23 years old, I went back and thanked every Sunday school teacher and youth worker I could find. They loved me, they cared for me, and they believed in me. In Mark DeMoss's book, The Little Red Book of Wisdom, he tells the story of someone walking into an executive's office who had a picture on the wall with a turtle on top of a fence post. Someone asked what that was all about. And the person said, it was a reminder to remain humble. Just like the turtle didn't get on the fence post by themselves, we don't get where we're going by ourselves. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap whatever you sow. Sometimes in life it seems like people are getting away with things. Small things like lying, stealing, and cheating. And big things like lying and stealing and cheating. They seem to float through life with their decisions, and it hurts and damages everyone around them and are connected to them. But don't get fooled into thinking they're going to get away with it or that you'll get away with it. At the most inconvenient time, the balloon full of hot air is going to be popped, and you don't want to be anywhere near it when it happens. Galatians 6:8, if you sow to your own flesh, you'll reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life from the Spirit. We live in a spiritual world that is so dynamic, it's more impacting than the physical world that we live in, that we can see, taste, and touch. If we live our lives to please ourselves and satisfy the demands of the flesh, these desires will end up controlling us, and we will be anything but free. Fortunately, there's another option. It's a life in the Spirit. This is where we surrender our lives to Jesus and daily invite the Holy Spirit to partner with us. This approach will leave us with very different results. We now experience a joy, a peace, and a patience that we never had enough of before. Previously, we would come up short. Jesus comes and begins healing us inside so we don't need to drown ourselves in the pain with substance, money, position, or accomplishment. We choose each day whether we're going to be led by our sinful nature or led by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing you could physically do today that's going to make God love you more than he does right now. Galatians 6:9. So let's not go weary in doing what is right, for we'll reap a harvest time if we don't give up. Jesus' arrival brought the inbreaking of his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. We know how the story ends, with every knee bowing and every tongue confessing that Jesus is Lord. But as we wait for Christ's second coming, we're living in the in-between time of the now and the not yet. So hold on with all of your might, especially if things are not working out in the immediate, because I can promise you it all turns out in the end. Galatians 6:10. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. Whenever you have an opportunity to bless somebody, do it. We were created to do this life with God and each other. Sometimes we can have the attitude that it's faster to do things ourselves than it is to take the time to teach others, even in our spiritual lives. None of us are going to live forever. So look for loving and gracious ways to pass the baton on to the generation that is coming behind you. It might be easier to do it yourself, but that is not going to help anyone when you're gone. John Maxwell speaks of four levels of spiritual maturity for believers in Christ. One is rebellion. I'm going to do what I want regardless of what God says. Two, conditional love. If God gives me what I want, I will give him what he wants. Three, growing faith. I'll give God what he wants with faith that he'll give me what I need. Four, selfless worship. I'll give God what he wants regardless of any thought for myself because he is Lord and worthy of all my praise. Where do we find ourselves today? It's amazing how God designed this world and then placed humanity in the middle of it to care for it, to nurture it in this created world. But the only way that we'll find peace and healing is when we follow the master designer's plan. God loves us and fills us so full, it splashes on everyone and everything we touch. And then he's given us each other to love, share, and do life together with. Sometimes we or those we love end up falling into the pigsty of life, and it's hard to pry ourselves loose. Those who love us come looking for us, motivated by the love of God. The dilemma becomes, when do we act, or when do we stay on the sidelines? No matter how someone else is behaving or misbehaving, if we cannot approach them with gentleness and humility, we are not up for the present task. I knew a single mom with kids who seemed to move every 6 months and didn't have too many people to help move them. So I must have helped them move at least 7 times. The present place they were moving into was for rent. But before they got in to rent it, it was sold, which meant they were going to move again in another month. I went again to help, but I was so mad. Maybe I was just hungry. When I came home, I told Carrie what happened, and she said, "You probably should have stayed home." And she was right. When we try to do things in our own strength, relying on our own goodness, it's a useless endeavor. When God is involved, the fruit of the Spirit is evident. We don't speak into others' lives because we're better than them. No, we are not the answer for the world's problems. We all desperately need Jesus the same amount. It is that Jesus calls us to himself so we can forgive, heal, and restore us in a relationship to him and each other. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, he suggests we embrace the ministry of holding our tongues. Have you ever heard of that gift before? The ministry of holding our tongues, the meekness before God and others of listening, of helpfulness, of bearing one another's burdens, of proclaiming the word to one another. The motivation of restoration comes from a heart of love. God's gift of salvation should lead us to serve each other. Scott McKnight says this should put us on a path of mutual accountability and personal responsibility. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to fully recognize our need for you and for our relationship with others. Forgive us when we've tried to rush and force things upon others. And forgive others when they've mishandled us. come fill us with your Spirit again this morning so we can act and love all we come in contact with. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
couple announcements, benediction, and we're going to sing one more song. Announcements next Sunday, Baptism Sunday. How is it that the God of the universe comes and engages each one of us? That's an incredible mystery. And people will share about that next week, about the things that God is doing in their hearts and lives. Every Sunday after the service or during the service or whatever, in the back corner, we have people that are willing to pray for you if you want prayer. People come up to me sometimes and say, Lewis, we're praying for you. And I'll say, good, I need it. I need everything that you could get. And so take opportunities to be prayed for and allow God to touch you and minister to you in that way. Could you imagine if the next conflict that you had with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your friends at school, could you imagine if you handled it with humility and gentleness? Usually when those tensions come, we're at a 10 over here. And that sure needs to be able to come down if we're going to be able to handle each other the way that God wants us to handle, be handled. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that those who are maturing in their faith are doing a couple very significant things. Daily, they're embracing Jesus. And then secondly, we're embracing each other. Amen.
Will you stand with us as we close the service and just celebrate? Great week.